Our sermon for the week of September 21st, 2025, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, is based on Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and the theme of the sermon is Be Faithful with What You're Given, from Luke chapter 16. Jesus also said to his disciples, There was a rich man who had a manager who was accused of wasting his possessions. The rich man called him in and said to him, What is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, What will I do, since my master is taking away the management position from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, so that when I am removed from my position as manager, people will receive me into their houses. He called each one of his master's debtors to him. He asked the first, How much do you owe my master? He said, 600 gallons of olive oil. He said to him, Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 300. Then he said to another, How much do you owe? And he said, 600 bushels of wheat. He said to him, Take your bill and write 480. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light are. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. The person who is faithful with very little is also faithful with much, and the person who is unrighteous with very little is also unrighteous with much. So, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you with what is really valuable? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you something to be your own? No servant can serve two masters. Indeed, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. The word of the Lord. Your parents probably taught you at a young age to take care of your stuff and take extra care of things that are lent to you. It was one thing if you were going to ruin your own possessions. You'd have to face the wrath of mom and dad. But it was something far worse to have to stand in front of a friend and tell them why you ruined what they so generously let you use. This is the point Jesus is making today. We ought to be faithful with what we have because it's not ours. It was given to us on loan. The parable that we have in front of us today may seem so confusing on its face. The main character is a wealth manager for a rich man, and that manager is about to lose his job. It seems he has not worked hard to care for his master's money. Of course, when the master calls the manager to account for his work, or lack thereof, the manager freaks out. He's not cut out to work a manual labor job, and he's not willing to beg. And so in a moment of ingenuity, he jumps into action. The manager devises a plan to give himself better standing with his master's debtors. Then maybe one of them will give him a job when he's fired from this one. He goes and changes their debts, cutting one of them in half and the other one by 20%. Now, obviously, this doesn't hurt the manager. None of the money is his in the first place. It belongs to the master. But since he's in charge of the money, he can use it for his purposes. You'd think this dishonesty would only speed up his firing. But the master is impressed with his manager's prudent use of what he was given, what was not his. You might say he was moved by his manager's hustle. Why? Because the manager used what was under his control for his end goal, to secure his future. Jesus highlights this to make a contrast. If the children of this world can act so decisively for temporary gain, shouldn't the children of light be even more committed for eternal gain? Jesus is complimenting unbelievers. They use their money to accomplish their goals. Businesses spend billions of dollars schmoozing clients, all so they can shake hands at the end of the meeting and close the deal. People use money to incentivize others to do things. A parent says, if you get good grades, then we can go to Disney World. Brands, they flood the world with all kinds of free samples so that they can get people hooked on their products for decades to come. The world knows how to use money to accomplish their goals, but do Christians? Too often, we're not shrewd at all. Like the manager before he got caught, we coast through life, forgetting that our days are numbered and that what's given to us does not belong to us. We waste what God has given to us. And understand that it is God who gives us everything we have, and that all those things, they still belong to God, even though we hold them on loan. You know this is true, because no one takes what they've accumulated here with them when they die. We don't just waste what God's given us, we lack focus too, living as if this life is all that matters. Spiritual connection with God, it takes the back seat, especially in those early adult years, because there's just too much going on. You're trying to build up a career to set your family right for future success. You're trying to raise kids. Kids who sponge up so much of your time. And if you do get a second to breathe, and that's a big if, you want to spend it doing what helps you unwind the best. Your hobbies. Finally, we let our possessions master us instead of the other way around. You let the house you live in or the car you drive tell you how important you are. You get later into your working days and you start paying closer and closer attention to your retirement accounts, letting every market downturn keep you up at night over the fear that you might have to keep working a little bit longer. You get addicted to the newest and the best. And so, of course, you have to have the newest iPhone every year with all of its new features. And when you do any of these things, do you even recognize that you are serving these things more than they are serving you? We know that we are not to be selfish with the money God's given us, even when we're guilty of falling into that trap. But at times, do we ever revert to the other extreme? Do we at times treat money as if it's useless? On the one hand, we can idolize money, but on the other hand, we can dismiss it as meaningless. Both miss God's intent. Your money is not useless. How do we know? Because God does not give gifts with no purpose. What is the reason for your money and stuff then? God gives you what you have to make friends for Jesus and further his kingdom in the hearts of those you share this world with. And this is not just giving money to the church. This is using your time and your money and your energy to make sure that the members of your household know Jesus. It's generosity that brings you to show Christ's love to people who may never have seen it before. I get phone calls every once in a while from people asking if our churches help pay utility bills, sometimes even people from hours away downstate. Now, we haven't made it a habit to help people in this way out of concern that they'll become reliant on the church to continue to pay their bills. But our churches do help when there are disasters in our community. We do that to show Christ's love to people who are hurting, not expecting anything in return. It is good that people in society think of churches as generous institutions. It's good that we help put food in hungry mouths and we do what we can for our neighbors when they're going through traumatic life events. Because when people's physical needs are taken care of, when they feel loved by others, then we give them more time to think about their spiritual needs, which we are even more equipped to tackle. And so when we disregard money as something that doesn't matter, and can be used however we want, we really are undervaluing it and undervaluing God. God, who gave it to us with a purpose. We are not the shrewd managers God has called us to be. Either we're too selfish and tight-fisted with our money, or we're too wasteful with it. But we certainly are not kingdom-minded with it all that often. Here Jesus is not saying that unbelievers have it all figured out, but his point is that they are often more committed to their goals than we are to ours. We are not constantly focused on the reason God gives us what we have. Thank God, there's another manager in this story. Jesus. Where we so often lose sight of our mission, he didn't. He used every word, every moment, and every gift from the Father to perfectly fulfill his Father's plan and design. He gave his life as the greatest act of stewardship. You think of that prophecy that Caiaphas, the high priest, speaks. He says, "You do not even consider that it is better for us that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He meant this as an excuse to kill Jesus. But God meant it as a promise to the world in sin. And so Jesus died for that nation and every nation. He died for you. He died for all the times you've lived selfishly. He died for all the times you made your money and your stuff into your God. He died for all the times when you thought too little of your money and wasted it uncaringly. And because he died, your God does not see you as a miser or apathetic to his purposes. He sees you as perfect and valuable beyond any amount of money. Our home eternal is secure. We do not need to cling to earthly wealth. Our time, our money, and our abilities become tools for God's kingdom, not masters we must serve as slaves under. We take the stewardship responsibilities he gives us seriously, because we know that being faithful with very little now also means being faithful with very much in heaven to come. So let's redouble our efforts, shrewdly planning, wisely using, joyfully giving, not for ourselves, but for God's glory and for the good of others. The dishonest manager planned carefully for a short time. We, with eternity before us, can plan even more wisely for God's glory. God has given you many hats to wear to glorify him. So, dear friends, wear them well, using the limited resources God has given you to serve him at church, in your home, and in your community, so that the people you know who don't yet know Jesus may come to know his heavenly generosity through your earthly generosity. Amen.